Amen. Amen. If you would, just bow your heads quickly. Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord, just for being God, Lord, just for this moment that we have. It's truly all that we have is this moment. So we thank you for this moment. Thank you for your word, Lord. We ask now that you speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, fallen, decaying world, Lord. We need your word today, this moment, more than ever. Speak to us now through your word, Lord. We open our hearts and minds to receive what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through the word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4 and verse 1. And, you know, it's for Communion Sunday. I used to give two messages, but now I just give one message for Communion Sunday. And what I try and do on Communion Sunday, just to tie it in, I try and do a parable or a miracle, just to focus in on the life of Christ and just the awesomeness of God as we celebrate the most amazing event in the history of mankind, the resurrection, as we take communion. So here we are this morning. Let's focus in on a parable, which starts in Mark chapter 4 and verse 1. And I'll be there in just a minute. You know you're in trouble when the pastor tells you to go to Genesis and he can't find it. All right. You know you're in trouble then. So here we go. And he began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude. Make sure you underline that. Those of you taking note, there was a great multitude. Yes, you can find Christ in the crowd, but a relationship comes through one-on-one. But there was a great multitude, and Jesus was teaching, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. So here's Jesus. He's teaching again because he was teaching initially, and then he continued his teaching. As I was going through this studying this, Jesus is teaching on family, he's teaching on relationships, and then he talks about there's four groups of people in the world. As we go out as disciples of Christ, as we are evangelists, he's going to talk about you're going to run into four types of people. And regardless of how you look at it, you and I, we are in one of those categories, one of those groups of four. We are in there. But let's dial it back just a little bit. And Natalie, let's go to Mark 3 and 31. Let's read 31 through 35, where Jesus talks about relationships. Gives us a whole new definition of relationship, our biblical relationship. Biblical definition of relationship. 3 and 31, there came his brethren and his mother, and standing outside, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Hey, Jesus, there's your mother and your brother outside. They are looking for you. Now, remember, last week we talked about when he was 12 years old and he was teaching, and they had left their kid. They had left him 12 years old and was gone for 3 days. And he told them, I must be about my father's business. Now he's a grown man and they're looking for him. And they say, your brother and your sister outside. Jesus, remember, he's about his father's business. He's not getting distracted by the little stuff. He has a mission to fulfill. He's on a rescue mission to save us. So then Jesus, he responds in verse 33. And he answered them saying, well, who is my mother and my brother? Who is? And he breaks it down. And he looked around about them which sat about him and said, right here. He said, behold, my mother and my brother, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Make a note of that. He said, the ones who I have relationship, who are part of my family, are the ones that actually do the will of God. So he defines relationships right here. Then he's getting ready to go through the four groups of people. But he said, don't get it twisted. If they're outside doing other things, just like the same scripture in John says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You can't say you love God if you're not keeping his commandments. You can't say that Jesus is your God if you don't do what he says. He's your Lord and you don't do anything that he says. Notice he didn't say father because he already has a father. Amen. He's not looking for a father. He already has a father. We have a father. But he's talking about my brother and my sister. Those that do the will of God. So make sure you understand that. So then that's when we get into chapter 4, and he's begin teaching again. He already defined that. Make sure you understand who's part of my family. Everybody's not part of the family of God. We all were created by God, but we're not all children of God because we're not all doing the will of God. And we're not all committed to God, so we're all not. The world would tell you that we're all inclusive and we want to be one, but Jesus said, no, if you're not doing my will, you're not part of my family. He gives a hard word. This is a hard message. And family, the most important thing we can be doing is sharing the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. But Jesus defined family not as by birth, but through time, experience, and relationship. Think about the people that are closest to you. You spend time with them. You have special moments and experience with them, and you've built a relationship over the years. God is no different. If you're not spending time with God, you don't have experiences trusting God and going through things with God, there's probably not much of a relationship there. It's no way around it. And then right here, you see in verse 1, chapter 4 and 1, the crowd was there. Yes, you can find Jesus in the crowd, but you can only get a relationship with Christ through time, experience, and relationship. So now he breaks it down. Verse 2, 4 and 2. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his teaching. All right, so he's teaching many parables. Then he gets to one of the most important, if not the most important parable. It is the first parable here in the book of Mark. I don't know if it's chronologically that way or because it's importance like that. Mark felt it was the most important. So verse 3, he says, listen up. Hearken, which means listen. So here's God telling us, you all need to listen. This is 2017 and it's 11:59. Okay, listen up. I want to share something with you. He said, a sower went to sow. There went out a sower to sow. Verse 4, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. First group of people, those by the wayside. That's us. That's our people. We go to the gym. We go to the job. We go to the supermarket. We go different places. And there's people all over. There's people by the wayside. It's the first group of people. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground. The second group of people we're going to run into, the stony ground. He's talking about seeds, and he's going to break it down in just a minute. We all know, because this is a very familiar passage, but God has given us revelation on it this morning. For 2017, you got people by the wayside, you got some on stony ground. Where it had not much earth, and it immediately sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Make a note, it takes time and takes depth to grow. Then here comes a third group, and some fell on thorns. And the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground. That's your next group. The fourth group is good ground. So we got the wayside, we got stony, we got thorns, and we got good. And did yield fruit that sprung up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Verse 9, and he said unto them, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said, okay, listen up. Hear what I'm saying. All right, I'm trying to set this up, all right? Jesus saying, hear what I'm saying. Now we get to verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Make it a note. when he was alone. When you spend time with God, that's when you get to ask him the questions. There was a big crowd, but everybody didn't want to go to the next level. But when he was alone, those who went above and beyond, you got to put some study time in. You got to put some prayer time in. You got to put some quiet time in. You got to put some fellowship time in. You got to come to church. You have to catch God alone. Not everybody wanted to know. It's hard to ask God, God, what is my life about? Let me go spend some time with God. God, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? God, what do you want me to do? I want to know what you're saying to me. They didn't understand the parable. They called Jesus alone. Spent that time with him alone. Not everybody, just a few. Family, you can't get around that. You and I, we have to go above and beyond if we really want to know what God is saying to us. Amen. Look what he says. Okay, so they asked in verse 10. In verse 11, he answered. When you ask and you have that quiet time with God, he's going to answer. Might not be what you want to hear. Might not be in your time frame, but God is going to answer. It's a hard question to look in that mirror and say, God, what am I doing with my life? Where are you taking me, God? How do I surrender? What area of my life is not surrendered to you, God? What area of my life is not submitted to you? God, I don't want to miss anything you have for me. I want to spend some time alone. I want you to tell me. Bless you. Verse 11, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. See, because you asked, I'm going to let you know. Because you're spending time with me alone, I'm going to show you the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are outside, all these things are done in parables. They're not going to understand. Verse 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Because if they did, then they would be converted and their sins should be forgiven. So verse 12, make a note of it. And make a note of verse 12. So here's the revelation. When we're praying for those that we want to be saved or rededicated or converted, when pray that God would give them, he said, because they could see. It's a difference between seeing and discerning. All right. He said they can see, but they don't have discernment. So pray that people who you're praying for to get saved or to rededicate, pray for them discernment. He's saying in hearing they might hear. See, they hear, but they don't have insight and they don't have understanding. So God, I'm praying for my brother. I'm praying for my sister. Give them discernment and give them insight into the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let them know how you died for their sins, how you were sent on a rescue mission. May their heart be converted and turned to you. Pray for your kids, your grandkids, your siblings, your parents, whoever. Those friends who you've been praying for years, add this that they can have discernment and insight. Otherwise, they'll never see. They won't see it. Verse 13, and he said unto them, I know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? Jesus Christ is saying, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand any of them. If you don't understand the four groups of people that you're going to be dealing with as an evangelist, as a disciple, then you're not going to get it. This parable, I wrote down the things that this parable talked about. Everything that you and I could possibly deal with on some level. This parable speaks of God's word. It speaks of God. It speaks of Jesus Christ. It speaks of Satan, the heart, receiving God's word, affliction, persecution, the world, riches, offenses, lust, good ground, receiving the word, hearing the word, bearing fruit. He said, if you don't understand that, you're not going to understand anything I tell you. If you can't understand the basics of this parable, you're not going to get any other parable. Because it covers everything that you and I are going to have to deal with as we go through life. Jesus is saying we got to shift our mindset and our heart set. So we could be about our Father's business. He has a purpose and a plan for our life. Then he breaks it down. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. So now we know the seed is the word. And these are they by the side. These are ones by the wayside. The word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and take the word that was sown in their heart. That's a cold game. Satan comes. So here's spiritual warfare. You got to understand the spiritual warfare we're in. How can they hear the word and then go act like that? Because Satan came immediately. Didn't give them a chance to think about it. And you all know you could be at the job and you could share in a lounge or something and you share the word with somebody. And then Satan comes immediately. Oh, you don't want to believe that stuff, boy. You don't. Ooh, boy, they're loon, man. You better get away from them. They're going to talk about all that. Just immediately comes and snatch that word right out of their heart. Or our kids could leave church and go put on a song and some music and then talk about all this crazy stuff. And immediately he snatches it right out of their heart. Just by the wayside. And you and I have seen it. Some of us on social media, we put some up about God. And here comes the enemy. Immediately, well, God is not real. And it's a figment of your imagination. And it's a fairy book and a fairy tale and a storybook. Immediately. Be careful who you surround yourself with. Be careful who you let speak into your life. And then keep an eye out on those. You just see who's. I don't want to call people the devil and all that kind of stuff, but the word says immediately. So they're the first one to step up and say, oh, you know, you got to know who's influencing them. That's why Jesus said, if you don't understand this, you're not going to understand any of the other parables. We're in spiritual warfare. Amen. The enemy comes and he immediately tries to get that word away from us, away from our kids, away from those that we love. Through music, through TV, through social media, any way he can, he's trying to snatch that word. And those are the ones by the wayside. The first group. Then 16, and these are those likewise which are sown on stony ground. So here's a second group of people, the stony ground. Who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. They love the word. But they don't have any root. In verse 17, but they have no root in themselves. What do you mean? So they might come to church sometimes. They love the word. They love God, but they're not rooted. They don't spend any personal time with God. No personal time reading the word. No personal time praying. They're not accountable to anyone. They do what they want to do. They go where they want to go and they're cool like that. But they do love God. They love the word. They're not rooted. And look what happens. And have no root in themselves. And so they endure for a little time. They can hang for a little while. You'll see them and they'll be, you know, I'm good. Praise the Lord. I'm good. I'm praise the Lord. Amen. Sister, brother, praise the Lord. Good to see you. How you doing? Blessed, highly favored, all that kind of stuff. It lasts for a little while. And then make a note of it in verse 17. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They're gone. You don't see them. They're offended for the word's sake. But make a note that affliction and persecution is going to come. That's why Jesus said, if you don't understand that, you know, you're going to have to deal with people and Satan is out to get them. And then you're going to deal with persecution and affliction because of the word. You're not going to understand anything else. You got to understand all this is coming. If you can't understand this parable, then you're going to have a hard time walking this Christian walk. So make a note. It's no way around persecution and affliction. Something happens. You say, God, if you really love me, why would you? You start questioning God as opposed to understanding that this is just part of the Christian walk. And now you're offended in God. God, I'm out of here. I tried that Christian stuff. I tried it for a whole month. And I'm done with it. God is saying you can endure for a little time when it's on the stony ground. There's no root. Family, we got to get rooted. We got to be grounded. We've been talking. I know I've been personally talking to you all for at least 3.5 years on our prayer time, our Proverbs time, our 1 Corinthians 13. Every morning, fasting and praying, not waiting for a time and a season, but every morning before I eat, I'm fasting and praying and thanking God and getting his word. So when affliction comes, we're like, okay, let it come. Because it's going to come. But if you're not rooted, you're going to be done with that. Why? Hey, because you know how it is, how the enemy operates. I give my heart and life to Jesus Christ, then everything falls apart. I lose the friends who I thought were friends. God, I'm offended in your word. God, if you really love me, you wouldn't let me go through this. It's unrealistic. So I said, if you don't understand this, you're not going to make it. I have a lot of write these, but I'm not going to do that. This read this. I have a lot of the read this. Well, read it. I hear you, Sister Tara. Read it then, huh? Third group, verse 18. And these are they which are sown among the thorns. As such, hear the word. Here we are, it's the third group. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things. I'm in all kind of stuff now. Enter in and choke the word out and they become unfruitful. I didn't got caught up into so much other stuff that I can't even tell anybody about Jesus Christ. I'm chasing money. I'm chasing this. I'm chasing that. I'm chasing everything. The cares of this world. I got everything on my shoulders. I got all this and the deceitfulness of riches. Once I get this, I'm going to be okay. Then when I get that, I'm going to be okay. And then when I get the other, I'm going to be okay. And the lust of other things other than God. Once I get married, then it's going to be all right. Once I get divorced, then it's going to be all right. I'm so confused. I'm chasing it. The lust of other things. I got to get me a house. I got to sell my house. I got to get me a car. No, I want to catch the bus. I got everything just got me choked up and I'm so unfruitful. I can't tell anybody about Jesus Christ. My priorities have gotten flipped upside down because I made it about me as opposed to being about God. And then look at this. Then he gets to the fourth group. And this is what I love about the fourth group. You got to understand the fourth group. We've endured the spiritual warfare. All right. Where's the spiritual warfare? OK, we keep going. Then we got to deal with the next group, the stony ground. Right. We're excited. We get offended. Afflictions. We get over that hurdle. Then we got to deal with the world and the deception and the deceitfulness and the lust and everything else our flesh is telling us to do. But God says, don't do it. We get over that. And we get over that hurdle. We get to verse 20 and say, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. And in the midst of get all those hurdles, we're still able to tell somebody, you know what? God is good. There's a God that loves us. That's a God that died on the cross for our sins. Despite all that we go through, there's a God who forgives us. There's a God who cares about us. There's a God who's waiting for you to turn to him regardless of what you've done. We've been over the hurdles. We've been there. We've done that. We got the T-shirt to prove it. And we're still able to tell you God is good. And Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand any of them. All the hurdles we have to go through, all the things we have to go through and get over. And still say, God is good. And if you trust him, if you invite him into your heart, he'll love you. He'll care for you. He loves you anyway, but he'll draw closer to you. You'll draw closer to him. But you got to endure. You got to get through. So these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. Bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And family, this is what you gotta understand. As I was studying this, God says, you know, it's all when you read the word, that's why most people don't want to read it, because it's a reflection back to you. And it shows you yourself. You say, Pastor, you right here in one of these groups. Hey, Pastor, you in one of these groups. Everybody in here, you in one of them, whether you want to admit it or not. We're all in one of these groups. And you would say, as pastor, I should be in group four, right? Amen, that's right. No, who knows? Amen. Right? But you did. Hey, that's between me and God. That's between you and God. But it says you can fool a fool, you can con a con, but you can't fool God. I have to come like, God, wow. It's always work to do. And family, God's not looking for perfection. God is looking for loyalty. He needs us to be surrendered, submitted, committed, and trusting him with each and every aspect of our life. So as we go ahead and tie this scripture in with communion, because communion allows us to put our life in biblical perspective. A scripture like this, where God says there's four types of people. Where are you? It's between you and God. But then on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Family, you and I, we have to keep our life in biblical perspective. That's what communion is all about. That we'll never forget what God did for us. That when the world is going crazy and people are worshiping other people and sports and logos and brands and politics and leaders, Jesus said, I need you to get refocused. You need to be bearing fruit. Otherwise, you will be barren fruit, B-A-R-R-E, and you'll be empty fruit if you're not bearing fruit. You need to get your life back in biblical perspective. Do this in remembrance of me. And that's why we do it each and every first Sunday. I'm going to ask Brother Anthony, Brother John, if you would pass out the communion sacraments. And Brother John, if you would give us anything. Thank you. So just think about all that God has done for you and I. Think about how God forgave us. So as we pause, thank you, brother. Let's make sure we've forgiven those who've wronged us. So we think about communion. Jesus, Natalie, go to, what? You already there? Oh, that's what I'm talking about. That's it.
We got this, Pastor.
You got this. That's right. Flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you, Sister Natalie. I appreciate that. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus said, family, don't ever forget the cost, what it costs for us to be free. And think about how radical it is now and how radical it was then. This is a whole new tradition and custom that was brought into effect called communion. Before then, they had the Passover. Jesus said, now it's communion. Now it's baptism. We don't go to the temple anymore. We go to church. 4,000 years of tradition turned upside down by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to the point where here we are, 2017, in a church. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit and Peter and Paul and James and John and the other disciples and Thomas, they went out into the world and talked about Jesus Christ. And God did the rest, to the point where we said, what must I do to be saved? And on the night in which he was betrayed, go ahead and elevate that which represents his body. On the night in which he was betrayed, he gave thanks. So family, that's why we got to let other people go. If Jesus can be betrayed and give thanks at the same time, why are we still holding on to it? When he was on the cross, he said seven things before he gave up the ghost and died. The first of the seven was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even if people thought they knew what they were doing to you when they wronged you, they really didn't know. Jesus said, if you can't forgive others, how can you expect God to forgive you? Let them go. Let it go. Father, forgive us of our sins. And Father, forgive those that we have sinned against. And for those who we don't want to let go, forgive us of that sin. as we remember what you did for us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we thank you and we bless you, Lord. Go and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. The book of Leviticus says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. In the Old Testament, they would have to give a peace offering and a sin offering and a trespass offering and a drink offering. Then Christ died once and for all. It's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the only offering that need to be offered up. And the word tells us, by grace are we saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift. Yes, once we are saved, we should live like we're saved, but we can't work to be saved. We can never do that. We accept the free gift that was given to us through the blood, the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, Lord, for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We bless you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Going to do one more thing before we dismiss. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, maybe someone's here this morning and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Maybe that's you, and you realize in that four groups of people, I'm the ones by the wayside. The word was trying to get in my heart, but it was snatched out. And I want to get saved this morning, which means rescued because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. If that's you, you've never accepted Christ into your heart, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you hear and you say, Pastor, I'm in the group 2 and 3 where the cares of the world and the afflictions are just wearing me out, and I just need to rededicate and realize that I got to trust God through the process. I got to leave the details to God. But I'm rededicating and I'm standing firm on his word. I want to rededicate my life this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home. You say, Pastor, I'm not rooted because I don't have a place to be at. But I understand now I need to be rooted somewhere, so I can get to the next group and start bearing fruit. If that's you, you're looking for a church home, and from the worship to the word, God has touched your heart, and you want to make South Bay Abundant Life Church your home, go ahead and elevate your hand. We understand that we've understood a long time ago that we're family because of experience, because of time we've spent, and because of the relationship. We are your brothers and your sisters, your mother. I'm going to ask Brother Justin to come on up. One of our young men who's headed off to college. Yeah. Justin has shared with me that he wanted to rededicate as he gets closer to the time that he goes off to college. So I'm going to ask Justin's mom and dad to come up here. We cover him in prayer. And the youth leaders as well, and anyone else. You know how we do it. Go on and put your hands on his shoulder, and I thank God for this family here. So, Lord, we thank you for Justin. And, Lord, you open a door for him to go to college clear across the country. And we're praying, Lord, that he would walk right into purpose and destiny in Jesus Christ. That although he's going for education, God, give him revelation. Don't just give him information, but give him revelation, which leads to transformation, Lord. So we're praying for him right now as he stands here to rededicate his life. We thank you that your word says that we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to rededicate. Thank you for the opportunity to travel, to get educated, to be a light in the midst of darkness. Praying right now for his dad, Maurice, for his mom, Terry, the blessing they've been to this church, the entire family, Crystal and Grayson. Lord, we're praying for the entire family. Praying, Lord, that purpose and destiny is all on this college experience. We know that we need as many lights in college as we can get. We pray that he will always be a light, that he will represent Christ. Although mom and dad is not there, but he knows that God is everywhere, beholding the good and the evil. He would go there and share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone who will listen. As he's getting educated, he'll be a light. You'll use his life to edify the body and to glorify you. Thank you for his desire to rededicate. Thank you for our church family that's going to pray for him, support him, the family, and surround him, Lord. He'll always be with us in our hearts and in our thoughts and in our prayers. And we bless you, Lord, as we bless him. We bless you, Lord, for this beautiful family. We thank you for all they have meant and all that they are to South Bay Abundant Life Church. Cover, keep, lead, guide, direct. Empower him through the Holy Spirit, Lord, to be all that you created him to be. Give him discernment, give him understanding, and give him insight, Lord. Give him discernment, understanding, and insight. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet.
Thank you.
Give somebody a hug. God bless you, and you are dismissed.